as quickly as we can this morning to get you out before the snow piles up. I think I saw a flake. In fact, I think I see several flakes. And there's even some snow. I'm just kidding. All right. Bible study begins where we have the last several weeks, in Hebrews chapter 13. If you'll turn over there with me again, let's start in Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 8. Our launching scriptures for this series entitled Jesus Christ the Same. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray together. God, we ask you once again to open our eyes to this dynamic truth of the changelessness of our Christ, the desire and the willingness for him to do in our lives those things that he did in the pages of Scripture, if we can only believe. Challenge and encourage us, therefore, today, Lord, and strengthen our heart to know you. Help us to be more in tune with your voice, to hear you. Because faith comes by hearing your voice and your word. And as faith comes, your power is released. And we praise you for that in Christ's name. Amen. As we share the message with you again this morning, just want to remind you, as we have each week, that we're not making any direct promises to you of what God's going to do in your life. We're just going to promise you that God will do something in your life if you'll dare to believe in him. And I want to share with you as well that you know, the things that we preach because we have experienced on some level at some time in our lives what the Word of God has to say. Now, the truth of the matter is that we don't see God do all the things in the scriptures in our lives on the level to the degree that we would like. But you see, I approach the situation from this perspective, and it's this. God's word is true. That God cannot lie. Everything he says in the Bible is absolutely true. Therefore, if something is not right between my life and God's word, what he says I should be experiencing and what I'm actually experiencing, I have to take the responsibility to say the problem is on my end, not on God's end. Okay? The problem is not with God, the problem is with me. You know, I'm not living according to the scriptures. I'm not walking in faith and trusting God the way that I'm supposed to. And I'll be real honest with you, that's the way all of us are. It's where all of us are as human beings. And I just admit to you today that I don't walk in faith the way that I'm supposed to, or the way that I know I should according to the scriptures. And as a result, there are a lot of things that I'm sure I've missed out on that God would have wanted to do in my life over the course of my life that I just didn't get a chance to experience because I wasn't at a place of faith where I could accept what God wanted to do. And so I have to take the responsibility for that. But I like to think that I'm the kind of person that when I see things are not measuring up, I like to hope at least that I'm the kind of person that says, you know what? I see something better in the Word of God than what I'm experiencing in my life. And so rather than throwing the towel in and saying, well, you know, maybe God doesn't do that, or maybe God can't do that, or maybe God doesn't care about me, or God doesn't love me, or God doesn't all these kind of things. Rather than saying that, I would rather choose to look at my life and say, what do I need to do to get into that place of faith to receive the things God wants to do in my life? How can I press in? You know, Paul said over in Philippians, he said that we're to forget the things that are behind and continue to seek and lay our eyes on the things that are forward and press toward the mark of the prize of the high call. There's something about the Christian life that requires you and I to press in, to continually exercise our will and make a deliberate choice to press in to God. The things of the Lord just don't happen automatically in our lives. I know some do. God is sovereign and God, I mean, let's face it, you know, we've shared it. If it weren't for the grace of God, none of us would have gotten out of bed this morning. We'd have just, it'd have been all over with. See, none of us deserve, and we need to understand this, none of us deserve the next breath, the next heartbeat, the next step. God doesn't owe us anything. Do you get that today? God doesn't owe us a thing. And everything that we get to experience is by the grace of the Lord. There are more things that the Lord wants to do that He requires us to press into Him to receive those things. And so that, I hope that's why you're here this morning. It's because you have that desire to press into God. Maybe you're like me and you say, you know, I haven't seen God do the kind of things in my life that I read about in the Bible. And if the Bible says that Jesus doesn't change, that He's the same yesterday and today and forever, doesn't that mean that what He did yesterday He'll do today, and won't He do it tomorrow? Yes, it does. I believe it absolutely does. That's the whole point of this message, to get us to see that there's more to the Lord and what He wants to give. I'm convinced that's why Paul had the Ephesians, had that prayer for the Ephesians in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, where he says, I pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes so that you'll know Jesus more and more and more, and continue to grow in Him and to continue to experience more and more of His power in your life. And I thank God that when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I thank God that wasn't the end of what God wanted to do in my life. It was just the beginning. And a spiritual journey started at that point, where God wants to work by His power in my life, to change my life, to take things out of my life that have no business being there, to give me the strength to overcome certain temptations and weaknesses that are in my life, and you've got your own to deal with, to bless my life in times when I need special ministry from the Lord, to bring healing power when I need that. And we all need that from time to time. And I know that God is faithful. And I know that His word is true. So if there's ever a coming short, it's right here. It's right here. Well, the Bible kind of says that in Romans 3 and 23. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we're missing out on the glory, if we're coming short of the glory, if we're not experiencing God, the problem is here. It's not with God, it's here. And so we want to draw near to the Lord. We want to understand His word. We want to grow in faith, because the Bible says in 1 John 5 and 4, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Well, the key to this thing is believing in God and believing Jesus and believing that what He says is true, and trusting that what He's done in the past, He can do for us if we put our faith completely in Him. Faith in Jesus will empower us to stand in the face of life's adversities. It will strengthen us to resist temptation. And as a result, it will ultimately transform our lives and make a tangible difference in the quality of our life. Do you understand that faith is a spiritual dynamic that affects the natural world? It's not just all about spiritual things. It's about spiritual things that affect natural things. That's the way God is. That's the way Jesus is. That when Jesus came in the Gospels, and Jesus walked the earth, and He taught the parables and the messages, and then He demonstrated the power of the kingdom of heaven in the miracles that He did. What was happening in those days, the dynamic is that the spiritual power was affecting the natural world. And I'm telling you this morning, that same spiritual power can still affect the natural world today. The key that bridges the gap between the spiritual and the natural, the key is faith. It's faith, you see. That's why Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believes. But he also said, it's done to you according to your faith. See, it's not done to you according to my faith. it's not done to me according to your faith. It's done to me based on my faith. It's done to you based on your faith. So if we're falling short of the glory, then we have to look into our own hearts and say, where's the problem here? What needs to be shorn up there so that I can experience God's glory in my life? And our messages are just, you know, Becky and I, we've been doing this for 30 years. And we've seen God do some wonderful and awesome things in so many different areas of our life. And it makes us hungry. It makes us hungry for more of what God can do. And our whole ministry is just based on that hunger and our desire to see God do those things in your life too and to help you get hungry for God so that you can see the glory of the Lord in your life as well. I want to look at, and we'll eventually come back as we always do, to this passage in Hebrews. But I want to go back over to Mark chapter 10 where we looked last week at the story of Bartimaeus and just see another thing or two about the faith of this man that caused him to experience the glory of God in his life. You know, my Bible says that God is looking for people to whom he can show himself strong. God's looking for people. God's wanting to do good things in our life. God's a good God. He's wanting to do good things in our life if we can just dare believe and trust in God. And he's looking for people. He found somebody, and this man Bartimaeus, we read about him last week. I'll go ahead and read the whole passage again. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. It says that Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho, and as they were leaving Jericho, they saw a large crowd, and a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, he began to cry out, saying, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up, he's calling for you." Throwing his coat aside, Bartimaeus jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, master, I want to regain my sight. I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him down the road. The scripture says that God is looking for people to whom he can show himself strong. That text goes on to say, to those whose heart is completely God's. I think if we'd be honest, that's kind of where we miss out a lot of times. Our heart's not completely God's. It usually is in church on Sunday morning. That's a good thing. I'm not saying that's bad. That's a good thing. It's a lot easier. How many would admit it? It's a whole lot easier for us to focus on God when we're in church and we're together and we're all worshiping the Lord. It's just easier to focus on God, to get caught up in the things of the Lord. But when we get outside of this building and you know, the alarm clock goes off at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's an ungodly time of day, isn't it? And the alarm clock goes off and you got to get up and you got to go to work. And you got to deal with people with all kinds of attitudes. And just all kinds of stuff that's happening in life. And then in your own life, things are just not, you know, stuff breaks down and falls apart and problems arise and difficult things happen. And then temptation comes your way. You know, the devil likes to wait till you get real weak and then slap a temptation in front of you because he knows that's when you're more likely to stumble. And now you got that to deal with. And it's hard. And all the things of the world that are going on, it's hard to stay focused on the Lord when we're out there compared to when we're in here. And yet that's where God wants us to get. That's why it requires pressing on. We have to press on. We have to press through all of that stuff. All of those people, all of those attitudes, all that temptation, all of those problems, all the things that arise. We have to press through that as the word came this morning. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord. not let those things distract us, so that we keep pursuing God and keep following Him. Bartimaeus is an example of all that to us. Look at what happens to him. Here he sits by the road. He's a blind beggar. And yet somewhere along the way he's heard about Jesus. Because when he hears that it's Jesus coming, he begins to cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Somewhere in his life he had heard about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit had quickened his heart to understand who Jesus was and what Jesus could do. Because how many of you know it takes the Holy Spirit to know those things. Unless the Holy Spirit makes that real to us, we'll miss it just right over our heads. The Pharisees, they didn't hear from God. They didn't recognize Jesus. Bartimaeus heard the voice of the Spirit of the Lord and knew Jesus. Though he was naturally blind, spiritually he could see. And he recognized Jesus when Jesus came down the road. But look at this about Bartimaeus. Look at the very end down there at verse 52. After Jesus says, "Go, your faith," and again, there's the point. Your faith, we know it's the power of God that brought healing to Bartimaeus. But the reason the power was released into Bartimaeus' life is because he dared to believe Jesus could heal him. He believed Jesus would heal him. And so Jesus said, "Go, your faith has made you well." But then look at the next part of that verse. Immediately he regained his sight and watched and began following Jesus on the road. He began following Jesus. God is looking for those to whom he can show himself strong, whose heart is completely God's. Bartimaeus demonstrates a heart after Jesus. See, he wasn't just after eyesight. He certainly wanted that. But he wanted more than just that. He wanted Jesus. That's the kind of faith that you and I need to come to in order to walk in the things of the Lord. Where we want Jesus, not just what Jesus can do for us. That's sort of the fringe benefit, if I can say it that way. Where ultimately what we want is a real, dynamic, personal relationship with Jesus. And then out of that, God's power is manifest. And healing and blessings and these kinds of things happen as a result. And so it was with Bartimaeus. See, Bartimaeus had a choice to make, guys. Bartimaeus had a choice to make. He could have chosen to listen to all those people who were telling him to shut up and sit down. See? He could have chosen to passively sit by and wonder, could Jesus really do something for me? Could Jesus really heal me? Is he really who he says he is? By the time he finished all that wondering, Jesus has already gone on down the road. He could have chosen to listen to all those people that said, just shut up and be quiet and leave Jesus alone. He could have sat back and passively watched Jesus pass him by. Listen to me. The scripture says that wherever two or three are gathered, Jesus said, if wherever two or three more gather in my name, there I will be in their midst. Now listen, what does he mean by that? I mean, we believe that as Christians, we believe the Holy Spirit dwells within us, okay? So the very fact that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, Jesus dwells within us, the fact that we're here and he dwells within us, it means that Jesus is in our midst, doesn't it? Is that all that Jesus meant? If that's all he meant, well, that's don't mean any blasphemy or anything, but if that's all Jesus meant, that's just kind of duh, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You're in us, we're here, and therefore you're here. We got that. That's not what he said. We know that God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. Is that all Jesus meant? Two or three gather in my name, I'll be there in your midst because I'm everywhere. Is that all that he meant? Well, that's just another duh statement. Because he's everywhere. I'm saying to you today, Jesus had to mean something more by that statement. When two or three gather in my name, I will be there in their midst. I believe Jesus is promising to you and me a special presence when we gather in his name. Hear the word of the Lord. Bartimaeus sat on the road and Jesus passed by. I'm saying to you today, because we have gathered in this place in his name today, Jesus is passing our way right this moment. In this very room, Jesus is passing right by our way. Here's the question. Are we going to sit here and passively watch Jesus pass by and then just go on out to lunch somewhere and miss what he might want to do for us today? Or from the depths of our heart, are we going to call out to Jesus like Bartimaeus did? Son of David, have mercy on me. I need you in my life, Jesus. Will you call out to Jesus today? Will you call out to Jesus in faith and expect Jesus to do something awesome in your life today because he promises to do it for those who believe? See, Jesus didn't come into the world to just passively observe human suffering. He came purposely to divinely intervene in human suffering. That's what all the miracles are all about. That's what his presence is all about. That's why he's here with us today. His desire is to intervene in our lives, to intervene in the suffering of our lives. But listen, just like Bartimaeus had to invite him, he passed by, but Bartimaeus still had to give the invitation. And Jesus is here with us today, but we still have to give the invitation. He won't just impose his will on us. That's just not the way he works. Gosh, I wished it was. Wouldn't that be nice? To just know that, you know, if it's wrong, Jesus is going to correct it in the next instant. And it's not going to happen that way. He's not going to violate our free will. He's going to allow us to make our choices and then live according to the choices that we make. Hear it. We make our choices, then our choices make us. See, we need to choose Jesus today. We need to recognize that he's passing our way. And we need to call out to him and recognize that he's here. And call out to him and expect him to move. See, this is why he says, your faith made you well. See, he's not going to violate our free will. We've got to invite him in. And so he says, your faith has made you well. Be it done to you according to your faith. And so we need to call out to Jesus because the choice is ours to invite him into our lives to have his way. Joshua said it this way. Listen, Joshua made a choice. Joshua 24 verse 15. He says, guys, now he led the children of Israel into the promised land. They had divided the promised land. You go there, you go here, you live on this mountain, you take that valley. The land is all divided. And then he kind of closed out his ministry by saying this to the people of Israel. He says, now we're here, but the choices are not over. He says, choose who you will serve. See, even after God had blessed, even after God had given them the promised land, they still had to choose day after day after day who they would serve. You and I have to choose every day. Just because we got baptized one time 40 years ago doesn't mean we're walking with God today. See, we have to choose every day. Every day is a brand new beginning and a brand new opportunity and a brand new start. And a brand new requirement of choosing to live for God today. Joshua said, choose who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the choice you and I need to make every day. Every day in our lives. We went out to eat with Mike Keyes after the service last Sunday night. And if you didn't make it last Sunday night, you missed a real blessing in Brother Mike and his ministry last week. We went out to eat with Mike, and as I shared with you, Becky and I have been in this. Mike's ministry started about a year or two before ours. We've been in this for over 30 years together. And we just were sharing, when Mike got here actually, we were just sharing a little bit of all the things that we've seen God do over all of those years, and the way that God has provided, and the way he's taken care of us, and the way that he's blessed, and the healings that that we've seen God do. And Mike's ministry is such that he deals with an evangelistic, apostolic kind of ministry, talking to people that have never known or heard of the Lord, and introduces many to Jesus, and sees many miracles take place as a sort of a calling card and as an invitation to the Jesus that he's ministering to the people. And we've seen God show himself strong in our home and in our family and in this church, and many of you have as well. In the area of physical healings that we've been talking about last week and now once again this week, I want to share with you again another story this week. Go over to Matthew chapter 15, and let's just take a quick look at one more story real quick from Matthew that illustrates, here's the point, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the scriptures, we see that yesterday he is Christ the healer. There's just no denial in that when you read the Gospels. And we want to see why from the Gospels. Because Hebrews tells us that we are to look to those who saw God move in their life because of their faith, and then we're to imitate that faith. Okay? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was healer then, he must still be healer today. Matthew chapter 15, and again, please understand, I'm not preaching from a position of being there all the time. Okay? I'm preaching from a position of having occasionally touched the hem of the garment. Okay? But having touched the hem, we've seen the power. And we know, Mike and I were talking last Sunday night, we've been in this too long for anybody to come along and say, that doesn't happen. We've been doing this too long. We've seen it happen too many times to be talked out of it anymore. We don't see it as often as we would like, not nearly. But we're like that blind guy in John chapter 9. He didn't know who Jesus was. And Jesus healed him. And the Pharisees tried to talk him out of it. Couldn't have been that guy. Had to have been something else that's happened to make you well. Couldn't have been that guy did it. And this guy, to the Pharisees, he simply says this. He says, all I know is once I was blind, but now I see. That's pretty simple. I like simple. I do simple real well. And I like that. All I know, I used to be blind. But now I see, and the only thing in between the two was Jesus. Wow. That's simple faith. And that's what God is looking for from you and me. Just that kind of simple faith. Look at Matthew chapter 15 with me real quickly. Verse 21. We've got a contrast here. The story of Bartimaeus is about a Jewish male. A man who is, as a Jew, in covenant with God. But this story is about a Gentile woman. As a Gentile, she's not a person that has a covenant with God. And as a woman, she's not a person who society really puts much value in. Okay? And yet here she comes to Jesus. It says in verse 21, Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now these are cities that are on the Mediterranean coast. They're just outside of the land of Israel, of the nation of Israel, okay? He's left Israel. He's in Gentile territory. He's on the Mediterranean coast where he's ministering at this point. And it says in verse 22, a Canaanite woman. Now, if you're familiar much with your Old Testament, the story, the word Canaanite, you would remember that the Canaanites were enemies of Israel. They were the inhabitants of the promised land before the Israelites got there. And so they were perpetual enemies of the Israelites. And so the ancestry between Jesus' family and this woman's family is great animosity. They've been enemies for centuries. And so a Canaanite woman from the region came out and began to cry out saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." Holy cow. Somehow this woman has heard about Jesus. The fame of Jesus no doubt has spread throughout the land and the region, that region of the world. And this woman, a Canaanite, a Gentile woman, outside of Israel, she's heard about Jesus. And her eyes too have been opened by the Holy Spirit to know who Jesus is and to know what Jesus can do. Because again, only the Holy Spirit can open blind eyes to see that kind of way. And so she knows too who Jesus is. And she says, "Lord, son of David, have mercy. My daughter is cruelly demon possessed." Now watch what Jesus does. This is almost rude. Almost, it's not. He says, in verse 23, it says, "But Jesus did not answer her a word." That's not very nice, is it? She calls out to Jesus, and Jesus just ignores her. And no doubt the Jews assumed that Jesus is ignoring the woman because she's a Gentile, and Jews and Gentiles don't have any relationship, and so Jesus is just being a good Jew and ignoring the woman. That's not what's happening. That's not at all what's happening here. This woman's faith, just like Bartimaeus' faith, this woman's faith is being tested to see if it's pure, to see if it's sure. Will she quit? Will she back off? Will she give in? Will she throw in the towel and turn around and go home and just live a defeated life? Or will she persist? Will she press in? Will she refuse to give up until she's laid hold of Jesus in some kind of way? Jesus ignores her. His disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away. Because she keeps," look at that verse, verse 23. "Because she keeps shouting at us." She keeps shouting. No, she's not going to quit. She's not going to give up. She's not going to back off. She's not going to throw in the towel and say, "Oh, I guess God just doesn't want to bless me. I guess it's just not the will of the Lord for me to get this one." No, she keeps shouting. Verse 24, Jesus answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Wait a minute, she's a Gentile. And Jesus is saying, "I'm only sent to the children of Israel." Sounds kind of rude again, doesn't it? Lady, you have no covenant right to ask me for healing. What I've got belongs to the children of Israel, and you're not one of Israel's house. You have no right in what you're asking. Sounds like he's being rude again, doesn't it? He's not, I promise you. He's about to set us up and show us, listen, that the blessings of the Lord, all of them, from salvation to deliverance to healing to whatever it is, all of the blessings of the Lord are by grace through faith. Not by works. "I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." She refuses. She still won't quit. She still won't back off. She still won't stop believing. And Jesus said to her, "It is not good for take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Oh my word. He called her a dog. He called her a dog. That's the Jewish perspective of the Gentiles in that day. They're just animals. They're just animals. Only you know something interesting? Jesus doesn't use the typical word that the Jews used to slander the Gentiles in those days. The word that the Jews typically used would mean more what you and I might refer to as a junkyard dog. Are you familiar with that phrase? Just a mongrel, just a dog that runs on his own and scavenges and lives on its own, and just a mean, angry kind of. That was the word that the Jews typically used for dog. Jesus didn't use that word. Jesus uses a word that speaks more of a household pet that doesn't scavenge for its living, but listen, depends on its master to feed it. We've had dogs, so we know what that's about. Those dogs they were totally dependent on us to take care of them. And if we didn't feed them, they didn't eat. So you understand why they loved us to death. That's the word, listen, that's the word that Jesus uses when he calls this woman a dog. And it's why she responds the way that she does. Look at her response. He says, it's not good to take the children's bread. I'll come back to what I'll just tell you now. Children's bread. She came to Jesus seeking healing, seeking deliverance for her daughter. Jesus refers to that healing, to that deliverance. He refers to it as the children's bread. As the children's bread. Bread that belongs to the children. Healing is the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. And Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 7, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. He says, which one of you, if your child asked you for bread, which one of you would give your child a stone? His implication is, no, you wouldn't do that. If your child asks you for bread, you'll give them bread. And healing is the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. When we ask for healing, it's the desire of the Lord to give us healing. Because children, the healing is the children's bread. David said this in Psalm 23 and verse 5. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He prepares a table in the presence of our enemies so that we might come and dine from the master's table. And healing is the children's bread. Back to the verse. Jesus said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she responded, yes, Lord. She's in full agreement. Jesus called her a dog, a household pet, one who's dependent upon her master. And she says, yes, Lord, I'm dependent on you to feed me from your table. Brother and sister, that should be our attitude in all things, that we are totally dependent on the Lord. We can't get it on our own. We can't manufacture it in our own strength. We're dependent on the Lord to provide it for us. We must be fed from the master's table. Verse 28, Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. Look at her faith. Once again, it's a story of her faith. We know it's Jesus' power. We know he's the healer. But the reason he heals in this case is because of her faith, her humility, her dependence on the Lord, her surrendered heart, her worship of Jesus. She comes to Jesus, not just for healing, but she comes to worship and honor the Lord. She knows she doesn't deserve it, but she believes in his grace. And that's the point Jesus is making to us in this story. This is a Gentile woman with no covenant rights, but healing is a gift of the grace of God. And none of us deserve it. None of us deserve anything from God. But God, in his grace, in his unmerited favor, desires to lavish blessing upon us. Look again with me at John chapter 1. We started over here. We looked over here a few weeks ago. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is God's willingness to use His power to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Grace is God's willingness to bless us even though we don't deserve it. That's what grace is. That's what grace is. In John chapter 1, verse 14 said, Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw His glory. Glory is the only begotten from the Father. Full of grace and truth. The desire, the willingness to use His power to give us blessings even though we don't deserve them. That's grace. And Jesus came into the world full of grace that we might experience it. Look at verse 16. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth are realized. Grace and truth are experienced in Jesus. The grace of God that heals us when we don't deserve it. The grace of God that blesses us when we don't deserve it. The grace of God that saves us when we don't deserve it. The grace of God that forgives us when we don't deserve it. We experience it in the person of Jesus Christ. I tell you, that ought to make our heart hungry for Jesus. It should make our heart hungry for Jesus, that we might experience everything He desires to do in our lives as the children of God. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Because of her great faith and because of God's grace, this woman dined from the master's table. Acts 10 and 38 says, you know of Jesus, who was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus healed all who were oppressed of the devil, because Jesus is healer. He heals. Healing's not just what He does. Healer is who He is. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, how awesome is Your Word to us. Greater than our mind can conceive. Greater than our mind can grasp and understand. So great is Your love for us. And so great is Your grace toward us. We thank You today, Lord, that the desire of Your heart is to lavish Your grace upon us. But Lord, we learn in the Word today that it's done to us according to our faith. That we have responsibility here. We have a part to play. That just as salvation is by grace on Your part and faith on our part, so too everything else You desire to do in our life. By grace on Your part, requiring faith on our part. Help, Lord, our unbelief. Help our unbelief. You know what I pray the message this morning sets your mind in motion. I pray that the message this morning causes you to stop in your tracks and think about all the possibilities of the things that God can do in your life. I pray this morning we'll not just stand here or sit here and just passively watch Jesus pass us by. But I pray that the eyes of our understanding and our hearts would be opened by the Holy Spirit, that we would see Jesus for who He is today, and we would cry out to the Son of God and refuse to be denied by the world, the flesh, the devil, the people that are around us, or the circumstances that we're going through. I pray for you today that whatever you're going through, you will cry out to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's remain in prayer and stand to our feet for a few moments as we bring our service to a close this morning. Would you dare to believe that Jesus can heal you today? Would you dare to cry out for Jesus to heal you? Again, this is between you and Jesus. Now, there is something that we can do to partner with you in reaching out to the Lord. And it is good that we can come together like this, draw near to the Lord. It's easier to draw near to the Lord in this kind of atmosphere than it is in the world Monday through Friday. And so now's a good time, and this is a good place to draw near to the Lord and to call out to God. And I want to invite you this morning. You know, the Bible says if we lay hands on the sick, we can become agents of God to assist the Lord's work of healing in one another's bodies. And so this morning, I want to invite you, if you're battling any kind of disease, any kind of sickness, any kind of virus, any kind of ache or pain of any kind, I make no promises to you, but I want to encourage you to call out to Jesus, and I want to help you if I can touch the hem of His garment with your faith today. And I want you to come forward this morning and allow us to pray with you this morning as we bring our service to a close. If there's any kind of illness, any kind of sickness, and maybe we prayed with you before, and that's fine. The Bible said ask and keep on asking. We want to do that. If we can pray with you this morning, and Becky, I want you to come, and I want you to join me up front, because I want you to be our hands together this morning, all right? Come and stand in front of us here. Come, dear. This precious lady is having heart surgery this week, and we're going to pray with her and trust the Lord for healing in her life as well. Any of the rest of you that have any kind of illness or anything going on in your life this morning, would you come this morning and let Becky lay her hands on you as I pray, and we're going to trust God together to bring about that healing in your life. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you this morning. We cry out to you, have mercy on us, Son of David. Have mercy on us, Messiah, Lord Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us. We pray for forgiveness of sin, first of all, Lord. We pray, Father, that the blood of Jesus would continually cleanse us and wash us of all sin, that we might find free access to you today as we offer our prayers to you and make intercession for these that have come for healing today. Lord, we pray for our sister Betty today as she faces heart surgery tomorrow. Lord, we just pray for her right now and thank you for the grace of healing in her life. God, how wonderful you have been toward her. And how awesome the things that you've already done in her body to get her to this point. We trust her into your hands. We trust her now for healing for these heart issues. And ask you to do a mighty work in her, Father. And we give you praise in advance for it. Thank you for our dear sister and for touching her by your grace. These others that are here this morning, Lord, as Becky lays hands on them as well, we thank you for the grace of God. And Lord, we believe that as Becky lays hands on them naturally, that the hand of the Father rests on them spiritually, gently and yet powerfully to effect healing in their physical bodies as well. For by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you that you are the changeless Christ, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I pray for my mom at home today, Father. Ask for healing for her in Jesus' name today. I pray that you would make her completely whole for your glory. For your glory, Lord. And I pray that we, like Bartimaeus, in receiving your grace, would follow you from this day forward for the rest of our lives. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may return to your seats. Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am. What's her name? Could you bring... You're with Jim? Brian, Becky? Come lay hands on this little one. Thank you, Karen. Father, thank you for this precious little life. God, we look at this little tiny baby and we see the potential of all that you can do in her life for the glory of your kingdom. Father, we would pray for her healing, for these foot issues in Jesus' name. We pray that you would bring the correction that needs to be done there and the healing that needs to be accomplished. And you would make this little one completely whole. And we pray over her, Father. We pray over her that your will would be done not only today and not only in this area of her life, but in her heart and in her soul and always. May this child be yours. And may this child be dedicated to you, that she might live for your glory. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. I went to the doctor this past week. Most of you know that I've, a number of times over the years, I've had issues with skin cancers. And, the doctors have found a couple more of those that they want to be dealing with in the next few weeks. So I covet your prayers and in this regard as well. I will absolutely submit to your prayers.
Father, we do bring our brother, our pastor, to you today, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would heal him. That you would, by your Holy Spirit and by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. Healing belongs to him. It's his.
Thank you, Father.
It's your child.
It's the children's bread, Lord.
And so
it's the children's bread.
We just touch him today, knowing that it's not
Lord,
us, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit that flows from us to him.
That's why it's grace.
And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would touch his body.
Thank you, Jesus.
Make him whole, totally, completely.
Thank you, Jesus.
Heal him of this skin cancer, Lord. Wipe it clean, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that it's already done. Jesus has already taken care of it.
Thank you, Father.
Manifested in his life, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for that. Well, the snow is piling up on the rooftops of the cars. We'll get you home in time before it gets too slick out there. That's right. If we can minister to you further personally about anything in your life, we invite you to stay around and let us pray with you after others are dismissed this morning. All right? Let's sing together and we'll dismiss. In your presence, in your presence, there is peace. In your presence, in your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. God bless you. Thanks for being with us this morning. Have a great day in the Lord.